Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I've got the wonderful task of preaching a message right before a meal. It's always hard to do. I forgot something. Hebrews chapter number 12. Read a few verses here and then we'll pray and then get started. Hebrews 12 and verse number 14. Says this, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. All right, let's say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your word would have free course among us. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way. Lord, help me to speak the things that I ought to speak. Pray, Lord, that you would take away anything that doesn't need to be said. And Lord, I pray that those under the sound of my voice, Lord, would take heed to your word. Lord, again, I pray that we wouldn't deceive ourselves in just being hearers of the word. But Lord, I pray that you help us to be doers. Lord, help us to look to your cross now and just think about you for a while. And make the proper adjustments and application to our lives. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Lord dealt with me way back about this topic of bitterness. I actually preached this for the first time at New Providence. Actually, I preached this message about bitterness. And I struggle with bitterness a lot. And the Lord's brought this message to my mind when a preacher came to our church. And he started preaching the first night. He started preaching on bitterness, and I was in the back of the sanctuary at the time. He starts preaching on bitterness, and I began to look at the congregation at Ridge Road. I began to look at everybody from the back pew, and from sound booth rather. And I began to think about all these stories that are in our church of people who have gotten hurt, people who have had some bad experiences from different circumstances and whatnot, and I can see that our church is prone to bitterness because of all that hurt feeling, because of all the things that have happened. And I begin to pray for our church. I begin to pray that the Lord would protect us from bitterness. So, you know, you got a lot of people that, you know, I hear preachers say all the time that when the preaching's happening, you don't think about everybody else, think about you. And I understand what he means by that, you know, the preacher, because you have some people that, you know, like, has the attitude like, well, yeah, I sure hope Brother So-and-so is listening. Like, you know, kind of that kind of attitude. But I wasn't like that. I was sincerely thinking about, you know, man, I pray that we would get victory over this. And as the preacher's going on and as he's preaching on bitterness, I begin to, in the middle of the message, I begin to pray. And I said, okay, Lord, show me where I'm bitter. Show me where I'm bitter. And so the Lord brought to my mind this story back when I was about 13. There's a certain individual that really, really hurt my parents. And he didn't know how much he hurt my parents, but I did, because I saw their heartache, I saw their tears. And because he hurt somebody that I loved, I became very resentful and very bitter toward this individual. And fast forward, I got saved when I was 18. And after I got saved, I got to talk to this individual again, and I told him how I got saved. I told him about the mission trip in Paraguay. And I was talking to him about it, and I said, I say all that to say this. And I began to cry, and I said, I'm sorry for treating you with disrespect. I'm sorry for treating you wrong. And I began to apologize for how I treated him. And he starts crying, and we come together. I tell you, nothing beats that when two people are at odds and they finally reconcile and come back together. And there's a certain peace there, man, that I wouldn't trade for the world. Yeah. And as I began to think about this story, the Lord really spoke to my heart while that preaching was going on. And as I thought about that story, the Lord kind of spoke to me and said, just like you are bitter at that individual, because he hurt my parents. I am now bitter at church members because of the way they treated my pastor. And the Lord showed me that. Because you have some people that have left Ridge Road, these ex-church members, and they talk bad about my pastor, and they've put stuff on Facebook about my pastor and things of that nature. And because they were hurting somebody that I loved, I became bitter. And the Lord showed me that. And these individuals, you know, Bruton's a small town, and so, you know, everybody goes to the same Walmart, you know what I'm saying? And so I would see these guys in town, and I didn't want to be around them, you know. You see them on the other side of Walmart, they're like, oh, they're over there. I'm going to go over here now. Like, you just didn't want to avoid them. You're like, you're going down the aisle, and you see them, you're like, oh, like, I'll just get the bread next week. Forget about it. I don't care. And just trying to avoid them, you know. And that's a sign that you're bitter. You know, the Bible says that let all bitterness be put away from you. You know what a sign that you're bitter? You know a sign that you're bitter towards somebody? Is when you can't be kind toward them. The Bible says, let all bitterness be put away from you. You know what the very next verse says? And be ye kind. Amen. You want to know how you can tell you're bitter at somebody? You can't be kind toward them. Right. And I'd see these people that used to go to our church, and I would avoid them. I didn't want to be kind to them. I'd ignore them. And that was a sign that I was bitter. And people started coming to my mind, and the Lord was showing me that. And then I just prayed and said, Lord, give me a chance to make things right. And the very next day, I saw them in a parking lot. I drove by, and they were sitting there in the parking lot. And the Lord's like, there you go. There's your chance. And it was one of those prayers where, like, Lord, please help me make things right. I sure hope he doesn't answer that prayer. And so there it was, and the Lord said, you asked me. And so I turned around, I go to this parking lot, and talked to him. And I said, I'm sorry for the way I treated you guys and ignored you guys and wasn't kind. And they didn't apologize for what they did. By the way, what they did was wrong. But you see, it's not about what they did. It's about how I responded to what they did. And I responded with bitterness when I should have responded with forgiveness. And that's what makes the difference. The Bible says here, follow peace. Verse 14, follow peace with all men. Are you doing that? Following peace with all men? You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do as I preach this message? The Holy Spirit's going to bring people to your mind that you're not at peace with. Right. And the Holy Spirit's going to put people in your mind, and you're going to have to make a decision. Okay, am I going to stay here in this bitterness? Or am I going to make things right? And the Bible says to follow peace with all men. See, it's not about what they did. It's about how you respond to what they did. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That preacher was talking about holiness. You know, holiness is very, very important. And if we're not going to live holy lives, no man's going to see the Lord in us. You see, the beginning of this chapter, verse number 2, we're looking unto Jesus. That's where we're looking. But you know where that lost world's looking? That lost world's looking at us. And if we're not living a holy life, they're not going to see Christ in us. Right. That's why, you know, a lot of people get a little funny when it comes to holiness. A lot of people get cuckoo when it comes to holiness. And they think that this is what holiness means. No. What the word holy means set apart. You are to be set apart from this world, where the world can look at you and know that there's a difference. And if we're not going to live set apart, they're not going to see Christ in us. No man's going to see the Lord. You see how important holiness is? We ought to live holy lives. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Where would we be without the grace of God? I heard a preacher, you know, preachers talk about all the time about my generation and younger. And they say our generation are just spoiled, rotten brats. Right? You heard that before? And do you know why that is? because of pride. You do realize that if you expect this and all you're getting is this, you're going to be very discontent, you know, because I'm expecting this. I want this, but all I'm getting is this. This is your life. This is your circumstances, right? And you'll be very ungrateful. You'll be very discontent. But you realize that if you expect this and you're getting this, you'd be like, man, I'm getting way better than I deserve. Man, I'm so thankful. I mean, I deserve this, but I'm getting this. Lord, you've been so good to me. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. See, this did not change. You have the same exact life, the same exact circumstances. It all depends on how you view yourself. What do you think you deserve? See, if we just get some humility, we'll be giving thanks instead of complaining all the time. See, that grace of God, you know about that grace of God? God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. If we just humble ourselves and realize that, hey, we're getting way better than we deserve. And if we have any honesty, we'd say we deserve the lowest hell. And we're getting way better than we deserve. The grace of God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I wonder how many people are defiled because of our bitterness. You have a lot of young people who are growing up in church, and because of the bitterness of the parents, the parents will go home and they'll talk bad about the preacher, and they'll talk bad about other people in church. And because the parents are bitter, they are now defiling their kids. Because they keep spewing out complaints, and brother so-and-so did this, and sister so-and-so said that, and all this kind of stuff, and the bitterness of the parents is now defiling the kids. Like I said in Sunday school, these are the kind of people you go and knock on their door, and you invite them to church, and it says, well, I ain't going to go to church. There's too many hypocrites. Right? Where'd they get that from? Somebody's bitterness has defiled them. And now, you know, you have young people, you know, thank God that this church is an exception, but the majority of churches, there's no young people. You know? Now you can't find these people with a search warrant in church. As soon as they turn 18, they're gone. What happened to them? Somebody's bitterness has defiled them. And now they have nothing to do with the people of God. I wonder how many people are defiled because of our bitterness. See, that thing about bitterness is, it's a root. Like it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know what a root is? A root is underground. You can't see it. Right? I wonder how much bitterness is in this room, and nobody can see it. That thing of bitterness, it's a root. It's underground. You can't see it. I wonder how much bitterness is in my heart, and I can't see it. It's underground. You can't see it. You can't see the root, but you know what you can see? The fruit. And there's a lot of fruit in people's lives, and this thing comes up, and I know for me, you know, you come to the altar with the same old sins, and you keep struggling with the same old sins, and you see the fruit in your life, and you see this corrupt fruit, and you recognize, like me, like, I need to get this out of my life. And so what people do, they'll clean up their life, they'll come to the altar, and they'll pray, and they'll pray, and they'll pray. And what they're doing is they're just taking the fruit off and taking the fruit off, and pretty soon you have a clear tree, no more corrupt fruit, but give it some time, what's going to happen? It's going to grow back. It's going to come back. You want to know why? You're dealing with the fruit. You're not dealing with the root of the problem. And I'm telling you, this thing of bitterness, it leads to all sorts of sins. Look what it says here in verse 15. At the end of the verse, root of the bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know what's after that word defiled? It's a semicolon. That means verse 16 is connected to verse 15. What does verse 16 say? Lest there be any fornicator. There's a connection there. I heard a preacher preach one time. He said, you know how a lot of affairs get started in the house? It's when the husband and the wife, there's arguments and contention and strife and bitterness at home, and then the husband goes to work and sees the secretary. You see, we see that fruit and we think, oh man, that's some bad fruit, but there's a root of bitterness that we cannot see. That all started somewhere. I hope I have some liberty here, if that's all right. We think about sodomites, and we think, oh man, that's some bad fruit, that's some bad fruit. But have you ever thought about what happened to that sodomite when he was seven? Good. You ever think about what that uncle did to him? Mm-hmm. See, we see that fruit, and we're like, oh man, you got to get rid of that fruit. But there's a root of bitterness that we cannot see. That's right. And I'm not justifying it at all, that's sin. But I'm telling you, he's going to forever deal with that fruit until he deals with that root. And the reason why he's struggling so bad is because he's bitter at that man that did that to him. Root of bitterness. As that preacher's preaching, he's talking about a root. And he literally gets to this illustration where he's digging up this root out of the ground. And he was preaching. He didn't even know he was preaching. It was like just truth was just falling out of his mouth. And he's saying, when I dug up this root, he's literally digging up this root. And he said, as I dug up this root, he said, the dirt came with it. And I was like, man, that is so true. You know, we got a lot of dirt in our life. And until we get that root of bitterness out, we're going to forever struggle with that dirt. Do you want to be clean? You know, you come to the altar and you're trying to get rid of that fruit. But hey, you got to deal with the root of the problem. And until you get that root out, that dirt's going to stay there. The dirt came up with a root. And so it leads to all sorts of sins. We have all sorts of these problems, and we come to the altar, and we're trying to get it right, and then a few weeks later, we're back in the same old thing, doing the same old thing, coming to God saying, God, I did it again. Why don't we check our heart and say, God, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Where is the source coming from? Where is the source? So we looked at the source, we looked at the problem, the root of the problem is bitterness. Now let's look at the solution. Turn to Exodus chapter number 15. Real quick and we're done, Exodus 15. And we'll go get something to eat. The only time anybody said amen was when I mentioned food. No, but I preach this message a lot because it helped me so much. And it gets real quiet, and that's good. You know what that tells me? That tells me we need this. We really need this because we're struggling here. There's so many, we are all prone to have bitterness in our heart. And here's how you get victory over it. Exodus chapter number 15. We'll look at verse number 22, Exodus 15, 22. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured. And that's how you know you're bitter, when you're murmuring and complaining. And the people murmured against Moses. You see, these guys, they were complaining about their pastor. That's how you know you're bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord. And I love this next phrase. Look at this next phrase. You ready? And the Lord showed him a tree. You don't know when the cure for your bitterness starts? Is when you start looking at a tree. And I'm not just talking about any tree. I'm talking about the tree at Calvary. Amen. And you need to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And all the things that he went through. Yep. He was falsely accused. They lied about him. Has anybody ever lied about you? Jesus knows how that feels. They got a whole room of people that lined up to spit in his face. You know, the movies don't do it justice. We're not talking about a few drops of saliva. A room full of people lined up and spat in his face. His face is soaked in saliva. That's what your Savior went through. What if somebody came up to you and just slapped you in the face? You'd be ready to fight, right? You know what happened to Jesus Christ? Over, over, and over again, he didn't say a word. They ripped his back open and his back became like ribbons. His skin was falling off. He didn't even look human at the end of the day. And they nailed his hands and feet on that cross. And you know what he said on that cross? He said, "Father, forgive them." Now, who is it that you're bitter at? You see, when you look at the cross, I'm just mad at people that left church. I'm just mad at people for that talk bad about my pastor. When you look at the cross and you look at Jesus Christ, it takes everything in perspective, because here's a guy that went through so much more than I ever will, and he had forgiveness in his heart. But hey, let's switch it around. We are the sinners in needing of forgiveness. And if there's anybody that had a right to be bitter, it's Jesus Christ. But you know what happened? On July 21st, 2015, on that mission trip in Paraguay, I came to Jesus Christ wanting forgiveness. And you know what he didn't say? He didn't say, "Nope, sorry, you've gone too far. I won't forgive you." He didn't say that, did he? He said, "If you just come to me, I won't cast you out. There's plenty of forgiveness here. There's plenty of mercy." That's what he did for me. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he's forgiven us of all trespasses. How many of you are saved? Say amen. All right. God has forgiven you all your trespasses. I don't think we understand that, man. God's forgiven me of my past sins, my present sins, and hey, look, my future sins. Yep, that's good. The things I'm going to commit tomorrow, God says it's under the blood, it's forgiven. Amen. Now, a lot of people take that and say, "Oh, I can just go and live however I want." Man, that kind of forgiveness, that grace of God does not teach me to live ungodly. That grace of God teaches me to deny ungodliness.
That's right.
And I want to live for him because he's given me all this forgiveness. He's forgiven me of everything. He's the only one that had a right to be bitter, and he's forgiven me of all my trespasses. Because of what he did on the cross and shedding his blood, there is forgiveness of sins. Why in the world would I be unforgiving and bitter toward the people that wronged me when Jesus Christ has forgiven me of everything? You see, when you start looking at that cross and see the forgiveness that God gives to us, then that bitterness starts fading away when you start looking at that tree. And he says, "And he cried unto the Lord," verse 25, "and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet." Don't you want your waters to be made sweet? Don't you want to get rid of that bitterness today? Like I said before, you know what the Holy Spirit will do? The Holy Spirit will start bringing people to your mind, and you just can't let it go. "I can't forgive them." You know what you need to do? You need to look at Jesus Christ and see him having all that forgiveness and bestowing all that forgiveness to you and say, "God, if you can forgive me of all the things I've done, I can forgive them who trespass against me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the forgiveness that you give. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, Lord, forgive those that trespass against us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to acknowledge the sin that's in our life. Lord, I know there's plenty of fruit in my life. There's plenty of fruit in each and every one of our lives, Lord, that there's a root cause. And Lord, I pray that bitterness would not take hold anymore, but Lord, we'd pluck it out of our lives. We'd apply that tree at Calvary so those bitter waters can be made sweet. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Thank you so much, Lord, for the forgiveness that you've given us. I pray that you help us to forgive those that sin against us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You good?